Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Zvachem Samach Tes. We are six lines from the top of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Shamati, I heard from my Rabbi Shtayim. Two halachis regarding the involvement of a zar, of a non-kohen, with respect to avoda activity. In one situation, he's better off, the carbon is better off than the other one. Shamati Shtayim, I heard two halachis. One, achas was kmitzas zar, suppose a zar does kmitza on a mincha. V'achas, the other halacha regarding a zar's involvement, related to malika's zar, where a zar did malika to a korban, you know, bird. What's the difference? Achas, in one situation, teiret, even if the material was brought up onto the mizbeach, it must be removed and taken down. V'achas leteiret, in the second situation, we say, okay, once it's up, it stays up. I'm not sure which one is what. We speak about kmitza of a mincha, malika of a bird. One is better than the other. One will stay up, one will come down. Leidan, I'm not sure. And the there's a gersa ezehi, which one is which? Amar Chizkia, I'll try to suggest clarity on this. Mistabra, it makes sense to me that kmitza teirit, malika leiteirit. My kmitza, the mincha is taken off the mizbeach, so the kmitza of the zar provided no benefit to the mincha. It's null and void. Whereas malika, if he did malika leiteirit, that's left on the mizbeach. Why? What's the difference? Ma'ishna, malika. Why would malika be better? The yashna bebama, because we find that elsewhere, i.e. by a bama, which is an altar outside the Beis HaMikdash, during, you know, there's certain times in history where there was no Beis HaMikdash, there was no Mishkan, they had a bama, and over there there's no kohen requirement. Even a zar, even a Yisrael can offer karbanos. Since he has that ability at a bama setting, so likewise, even in a Beis HaMikdash, his act of malika, you know, carries some value, has some element of validity to it, and therefore, once it's on the mizbeach, it stays here. Well, if so, then kmitza, the same story. Kmitza nami yeshna b'bama. Well, the same thing with kmitza. Since it works by the bama, it should work to some extent over here. V'chitim, perhaps you'll say, in mecha b'bama. That in a bama, you can only bring animal karbanos. You can't bring menaches, so you can't use that as a, you know, as a precedent. Well, if so, einayf is nami b'bama. There's no mincha, there's no birds. It goes hand in hand. Dom Rav Sheshes, as Rav Sheshes explains to us, according to the opinion that menachas were offered at the bama, likewise birds. And same in reverse, according to the opinion that only animal karbanis were offered at the bama, no mincha, no birds. My taima, why zvachim? The pasuk speaks about zvachim, animal karbanis, which have shechita. They are meant to be brought at a bama, v'loy menaches, and not, you know, mincha material. Zvachim v'loy yafes, likewise, no birds either. So you can't differentiate. Either both yes or both not. So, why we join that line between Ezar doing malika, we would say it's passable, whereas by kmitza we say it's non-starter. Because the eifas you can do by the bama, well, kmita as well. Ela emayin kiddush b'chlisharis b'mincha b'bama. The answer is like this. Whereas when it comes to malika, since it works by the bama, it works in the Beis HaMikdash to some extent, that once it's on the mizbeach it stays there. But by mincha, you can't draw that analysis. You can't draw that comparison because, true, a zar can do kmitza of a mincha by a bama. That's perhaps because there's no kiddush b'kli sharis. There's no sanctifying the mincha material in a holy vessel in the bama setting. There's no kli sharis there. So certainly the zar can get involved. It's not a high level. It's not on the same level as the mincha in the Beis HaMikdash. So you can't really draw a comparison between the two. Just because you can do the kmitza at the bama with a mincha is of a lower level, shouldn't mean he can do it in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't compare. Hence, we say the Kmitza of Azara in Beis Hamikdash is null and void. Completely irrelevant. Versus the Malika, since it works totally by the Bama, with no strings attached. Likewise, to a certain extent, there's an element of validity to it in the Beis Hamikdash as well. If the Zara does it, the bird is on the Mizbech, it stays here and doesn't come down. Okay, so Rabbi Yitzchak tells us, I heard two halachas regarding the Zara's involvement, Kmitza and Malika. In one we say it stays on the Mizbech, in the other case it comes down. Chizkiah sheds light, he says, look, Kmitza comes off, Malika stays up, Malika is learned from the Bama, Kmitza cannot learn from Bama. Mishnah continues, Malak b'smoyla b'layla v'chulu. So we learn from the Mishnah that if a bird had experienced Malika, even though the Malika was unsuccessful at night using his left hand, you don't consider it a dead bird, like an Avela, which is Metame upon swallowing, Metame b'beis ablia. Since it experienced Malika to some extent, it has the status of a regular bird, as though it was shechted properly, and it's not going to be Metame. Tanu Rabbanan, here comes a Braisa, providing a source that even a deficient Malika will spare the bird from Tuma. Tanu Rabbanan, Yochel Tehi Malika, She Lifnim Metame Begadim Beis Ablia. Now, let's just go take a step back. Perhaps any bird that had Malika done to it, even a kosher Malika, Metama Begadim Beis Ablia, perhaps even a Malika inside the Beis Hamikdash, it's not considered like a shechita. The bird is still an avela, and if one would swallow, one would eat it. He absorbs tumah to himself and to his begadim. Maybe tamaloy, but no. Pasuk in describing, in presenting the guidelines of a dead bird being metame, says like this. So the full pasuk reads like this: V'chol nefesh asher toichal nevelo treifa be'ezrach ubager v'chibes begada brachas b'mayim v'tomei da'orev v'tomei. Person eats a bird which is nevelo treifa. It's, you know, gives him tumah. Tamalim nevelo. It has to be a nevelo, a dead bird. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? If a bird experienced malika, it's also a dead bird. Hanami nevelo. It didn't experience a shechita. It was just a malika. Who says that it's not going to be metami? Now Rashi points out, you know, we do know that a chatos bird will be consumed by the kohanim, despite it having experienced only malika. Says Rashi, okay, maybe that's an exception. So there's a kasuf. We have a pasuk l'chol chatoisam discussed back in Daf Mam Delet. Rashi brings, yeah, over there, malika will permit it, but perhaps a different type, an oila bird that experienced malika, it's not meant for the kohanim's consumption. Perhaps it's merely like a dead bird, and if one should decide to eat it, his mitai becomes tame. How do we know it's not so? Hanami neveli ella. Rather, we continue in the same pasuk. It says nevelu atreifa. Ella tamalim atreifa, and that teaches us like this: in order for something to be metame, it has to be comparable to a treifa. Ma treifa shein mataras isa. Treifa was speaking about a bird or an animal who had a, you know, serious internal illness, internal wound, critical wound, and it's forbidden for consumption, right? So ma treifa shei materas is just like the treifa experience, treifa episode, has no positive, you know, effect on this entity, on this bird. It's not matter any isser that was previously there. Afko, likewise, the nevela label discussed right near the word treifa is also that type of nevela experience. Afko she'en matera says isser, which has absolutely no positive impact and does not matter any previously forbidden elements. And then we say this is a full-fledged nevela, and is metame, as opposed to malika by a kachem bird in the Beis HaMikdash, yotze malika shilifnim, which certainly has a positive effect on the bird. Shim hayli materasa says she's mate isurim. Rashi explains what kind of isur. During its lifetime, it was not suitable as a carbon. Now it is. So the malika has a permissible, effect on the bird. So it's not reminiscent of treifa, ein metame, begadim sablia. It's not going to be metame a person. It doesn't have that trigger point. Hevi amoylek kachem bechutz, umoylek chulin bein mebifnim, maybe mechutz. So based on this concept, not only is a malika of kachem in the base of English properly going to spirit of tumah, let's take it a step further. Sorry, so only if it's done properly. Malika of the Kachem in the Beis HaMikdash is going to spirit of Tumukutz Mater Isur. But suppose he's Hamoyle Kachem Machus, he does Malika on the Kachem outside the building improperly, or does Malika on Chulin birds, where Malika is not called for. That Malika has absolutely no permissible properties to it. It's not Mater any Isurim. In which case, we treat it like a plain and simple dead bird and it's Matame. Hamoylek kachem bechutz, umoylek chulin bein mibefnim, whether in the Mikdash, bein bechutz, whether outside, hoyl bein matir, and say, Isur, they're not matir, and Isur. They're treated like a plain avela, and they are metamen begodim abesablu. Now, what about, and this, by the way, corresponds with the Mishnah, who told us the same. Now, what about shchita done to a bird, whether kachem or chulin? Tanidach, here comes another price. In these, we say it's tahar, and we'll explain why. Okay, he takes a chulin bird and does shchita in the Beis HaMikdash. Improperly, but the shchita is a valid shchita. I mean, the location is off. But after all, there was a shchita. The bird cannot be eaten, but, right? It didn't just die. It was an experienced shchita, the kachem. Or he did shchita to a kachem bird, whether inside or out. Bein bebifnim, ubein bechutz. Of course, a kachem bird is meant to experience malika, not shchita. So perhaps I would think that in all these, the bird is metama abesabli, it's metame person, leimar nevela. Once again, back to that pasuk, only a nevela is metame. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? This is a classic nevela. Hanami nevela hi. Rashi explains, why would I consider a nevela? Because this process applied to the bird was inappropriate, was uncalled for. Not meant to do shchita on a chulin bird in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not meant to be shechted there. Likewise, shchita is not really applicable to a kachem bird at all. It's maybe treated like a regular nevela. Ela rather tamalim et treifa. Let's focus on the word treifa on the pasuk as follows. So earlier we learned treifa one way. Now we're going to sort of apply it a bit differently. Ma treifa, just like a treifa. So we're meant to compare all to the treifa. Ma treifa shava bifnim kibachutz. Just like the iser of treifa applies equally inside the midrash, like outside, right? It's not location oriented. Av kol shavos bifnim kibachutz. Likewise, the tumah relating to a nevela of an oif tahir is only going to be present in a setting, in a situation, which is equally applicable inside or outside, in the midrash or outside, as opposed to yotzer shchitas chulin b'fnim, as opposed to a chulin bird shechter inside the midrash. That issue is not relevant outside. So it's not shavos. It's not treated the same inside and out, because outside the Mikdash it's a perfectly shechted bird. So tumah doesn't apply. And likewise, v'kachem, shchita on kachem, whether inside or outside. Bein mibifnim, bein bachutz. And soon the Gemara will explain why. Hoyel, so since in all these, v'loy shavu, bifnim ki bachutz, the issue does not apply equally inside or out. Ein metamen, begadim sabli, it doesn't have the tumah. Because it's not similar to a treifa. Hold it, says one second. Bishlam mechulin, I understand the first case you mentioned. Shechting a chulin bird inside, yeah, the issue is not relevant outside, so it's not you know, equally applicable, so it doesn't fit this criteria. Leishavu b'fnim kibuchutz. Okay, that's understood. But the second case you mentioned, shchita of kachim, that's a problem anywhere, inside or outside. Now, to do shchita on kachim, ala kachim, whether it's inside or outside, it's possible. So of course that fits the bill. It should be metami. Amar Rava. I'll tell you why it's not an issue. We find in some settings that in fact the shchita of even a kachim bird has validity, which lends to this understanding that in fact a kachim bird shechted is not considered dead, whether inside or outside. Amar Rava. Ima'ila lo shchitas chutz. Where, you know, if we take a kachim bird, and you take it out of the Middash and you do shchita. It's called shchutei chutz. It's a severe transgression. It's karis, for doing so. So although he didn't do malika, which is really the appropriate method for the kachim bird, he did shchita. He's still going to be chayiv. Rashi brings a pasuk later. Oy asher yishchat l'rabbi is shchita soif. Even though he did something inappropriate for the kachim bird, he did shchita. But if it's done outside the Middash, he is liable for shchut echutz. You see that shchit on a kachim bird has meaning, has value. And by extension, if it's done in the Mikdash itself, don't say it's a dead bird. Im hoylo shchit aschutz, if the shchit on the kachim bird out of the Mikdash, accomplished, so to speak, in a negative way, right? Accomplished l'chai v'karis, to give the person karis, l'toyeloi l'tara, m'dein v'ele, wouldn't you think the same type of shchit, whether outside or inside, conspired of the nevela status. It's not a dead bird. It experienced a halachically, sanctioned, so to speak, experience of death, of life termination. It's not just a dead bird. Okay? Ask the Gemara. Ashkan chutz. Fine, so that's good for the outside, shchita. Pneumonolan. What about in the Mikdash itself? Fine, you've explained, you've addressed the shchita of the kachim bird out of the Mikdash, since it has carries weight regarding the Isser, so it's considered a non-avail. But what about if the shchita took place in the Beis HaMikdash? That's not shchutei chutz, right? Ashkan chutz, that addresses shchita of the kachim bird outside. If it has a shchita value for this, so it's also considered for the tumah as well. But the shchita of the kachim bird pnim inside the Mikdash, Manel, how do we know it's going to spirit of tumah? Hayol v'lo yishavu b'fnim kibachutz, because you can't consider it tummy outside, not inside. If it's this experience will spirit of tumah outside the Mikdash, likewise if it was done in the Mikdash itself. Okay, so at this point we learned that shchita done to a chulin bird outside the Mikdash or inside will spirit from tumah, because just like when it was done outside, it's spirit of tumah. And Rashi points out, even if it wasn't a proper shchita, even if it was a treifa bird, which wasn't, kasha for consumption, once the shchita was done to it, it spirits it of tumah, as we're going to see later in the Indian Mishnah. So since it's spirit of tumah, the shchita spirits it of tumah outside, likewise inside, because, they're on the same footing. Right? And that's what's learned from the comparison to the treifa. Treifa is an issue all over. So only then do we say that it's going to be metami. But if something is a non-issue anywhere, right, in some format, in some place, then it can't be an issue anywhere. Right? So since shchita will spare the chulin bird in some situation, like outside the Mikdash, likewise in the Mikdash as well. Same thing with shchita to a kachim bird. Since it has validity when done outside the Mikdash, with respect to negative consequences of the shchutei chutz, likewise, it has a similar effect in the Mikdash, and it will spare it from tumah. Now let's shift over to malika on these birds, ihachi. So going along with this concept of universality, that it has to be equally applicable all over the place, otherwise, right, it's all or nothing. Yachi, malak kachim b'chutz nami. The same analogy can be applied to malika of a kachim bird Even outside the Mikdash. You tell me it's totally dead and Matami, why? Namilai, there shouldn't be Tumi there either. You know why? Because when this same act was done in the Mikdash, then it's perfectly fine, right? And that's the ideal. You do Malik on a clutch of bird, perfectly fine. So there's no Tumi there. Well, if there's no Tumi there, then there can't be Tumi here, right? It's universal, right? It has to be equally applicable in all locations. Yachi, if that's the case, going along with this system, Molach Kachem Vechutz Nami Loi, do Malik on a Kachem bird out of the Mikdash, it should also be saved from Tumah. The Loi Shavu Bifnim Ki Vechutz, because the issue is not equally applicable inside and outside. Amar of Shim Barashi, ah, big difference. You try to compare a deficient, failed carbon, Malika outside, which makes it possible, because if inside it works, certainly inside is a properly processed carbon, right? You can't compare one to the other. Until now we discussed comparing inside to outside, outside to inside, in terms of, you know, improperly processed situations. And since the tumah is, you know, he's spirit of tumah in one setting, likewise in the other. But here you're trying to compare apples, you're trying to compare a carbon which is pasul to a carbon which is kasher. No, that's an unfair comparison. We can learn, we can compare Dava Shalai Bechshayroi, a situation which is not appropriate, Midava Shalai Bechshayroi, from another situation which is likewise somewhat efficient, and we compare the two. If it works there, it works here. But here we're trying to compare failed to successful, right? If it ain't done, we can't compare Dava Shalai Bechshayroi, Malika on a clutch and bird outside, which is a failed operation, midavash bechsher, from the malika taking place in the Mikdash, which is a successful operation. You can't compare, and therefore, although malika works inside but not outside, below you can't compare really. By the time we have a brisa, back to that halacha that even a deficient carbon placed on the mizbeach stays there. Even a carbon which was yaitze left the premises and came back. How do we know shemol layered? Once the mizbeach, you don't take it off. Why? Shari yaitze kasher b'bama, because by the bama there's no concept of leaving the premises. There are no boundaries. So since it works by the bama, it works somewhat by the mizbeach. Again, you're comparing deficient to successful, right? How could you? The yaitze is an issue by Beis HaMikdash. It's not an issue by the bama. How could you compare? Says the more you're right. We're not really meaning to compare. Tana, the Tana who presented that analogy to compare to the Bama, Azois Teresa Oila Riba Samachle, he was really including it from the Lashon of Zois Teresa Oila. Anything which is Oila goes on the back, stays up there. Samachle, that's really his source. The other discussion was just to make it more plausible. Okay, so in summation, a dead bird is Matame Bebe Sablia, unless it experienced Shechita. Now, Shechita will, spirit of any Tumah, even if it's Shechita on Chulin Bifnim, or Shechita on Kachem Bifnim, or Bachutz. But regarding Malika, that only works if it's done properly. Malika of Kachem Bifnim, but outside it's Tame, and likewise Malika on Chulin is Tame as well. Malak Vinim says Trefa, says the Mishnah. Suppose it was discovered as a Trefa, which is pretty much inedible now, it's Asher, after Malika. Okay, so you're not going to eat it. What about being Matame? Person decides to eat it, to swallow. Is it going to be Matami here? Shall we treat it like a plain dead bird? Or, after all, it experienced a halachically mandated life termination act, which is Malika. It's not going to transfer to me. It's not a dead bird. However, it is Matami. He says Malika on a bird, which turned out to be a trefo, or even Shechita would not protect it from Tumah. If it was a successful operation, fine. But if it was discovered to be a Trefa, inedible, it's as though it was never really, you know, Shechted or Nimlak, it's as good as dead. Amar Rav Meir, let me prove my position that a Shechita or Malika on a bird that was discovered to be Trefa is still going to spirit of Tumah. Kavachai, based on Kavachai. Let's base it on the starting point here. Here's an animal, a behemoth, that was discovered a trefa after shechita. All will agree. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree. We'll see it in the Gemara later, based on a pasuk that there's no tumas nevela. Likewise, says Rameir, if it works over there, certainly by the bird, which in a way, to begin with, only had a lighter form of tumah, and certainly it can be spared of that tumah. Let's see. Kabochim. Ibn Niblas Behemo. Even a dead animal. Shematama Bamaga Ubamasa. That contains a higher level of tumah. It transfers tumah simply by touching it, by lifting it. So despite its higher level of tumah, shchita samataris rifasamatumasa, the shchita on that behema will spear it of this severe tumah, despite it being discovered to be a treifa. Certainly, wouldn't you expect the same by a bird, which to begin with has a lighter tumah? Niblas ha'iv she'ena matama b'magav masa doesn't have those tumahs, because a dead bird only transmits through swallowing. So to begin with, it's lighter and easier. Ain't it? Then wouldn't you agree that once shchita was done to this bird, even though it was discovered to be a treifa, it will still be spirit of tumah? Now, by extension, we'll apply the same to Malika, which is also a halachically mandated, you know, process applied to a bird. Mamotzinus, just as we find b'shchitasei, that the shchita of a bird, shimachsharta lachil, which is meant to enable it for consumption, umataheres terefasa mitumasei, and likewise, it will spear it from tuma even when discovered to be a treifa, af malikasa, likewise a malika of a kachem bird, which is the appropriate method, shimach sharta b'achil, which enables it for consumption when it's, you know, healthy, not treifa. Likewise, tetar treifa sim tumasa, you can spare the treifa from being tummy. Okay, so the starting point is shchita by a behemah treifa is metahir. All agree. Shchita by a bird, or malika by a bird, according to Meir, is metahir as well. Rabbi just says no. Nothing doing. By the bird, treifa is tummy. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi sort of strikes a compromise. Shchita will spear the bird, but not malika. Because after all, you're comparing the bird to the behemoth, which only has shchita. Daya, it makes sense, it's fair, that will compare it only kedivlas behemoth. That the bird should be empowered like the navel of a behemoth, which means, just like over there, shchita samtaharsa, the shchita can do the trick, not malika. Just as by the behema, shchita is effective, not malika. It has no malikas. Likewise, with the bird, shchita can do it, but not malika. Okay, so according to all shchita, shchita of a behema treifa works. It's a spirit of tumma. What about a bird? According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. According to Rabbi, even malika. According to Rabbi Yehuda, only shchita, not malika, based on daya. Right, you can't learn more than the source. The source here is behema, which is limited to shchita. Likewise, shchita of a bird works, but not malika. Now Rameir expanded it to malika as well. Rameir loy dorish daya, he doesn't hold of the daya concept, but daya deiraisa, which is sourced in the Torah. The Sani, we have a braisa, din kalbachayim ketzer, how do you apply a kalbachayimer? Where do we find it in the Torah? By Miriam and Aviyah. By Yemar Hashem al Moshe, Aviyah, Yorik, Rag, Bifaneh, imagine a father would have insulted her. She would have been isolated for 7 days, right? Kavachem l'shchina brosa yom. Certainly, if the shchina had that experience with her, of course, it should last for 14 days. So why only 7? Eladayay. Love ibn adin, glaz kanidin. It's sufficient. Daya, it's sufficient. Love ibn adin, something which is learned from a certain, you know, source, glaz kanidin. Right? If you learn from the din, from the kavachemer, from a nidin, from a certain, you know, source. You can't be stronger than that source. So you're basing the shchina's experience on the father's experience, which is limited to 7 days, likewise shchina. You're basing the bird on the animal, limited to shchita. Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Abban, Rabbi Meir, Kura Ashkech Vadosh, Rabbi Meir, who expanded it to Malika as well, he found a pasuk to provide a source for that. Zoyis Teiras HaBehem HaVoif. Okay, so this system applies to behemah and oif. Now, in what way is a behemah equal to an oif? Each one has its own distinct track. V'chi be'ezoi teira, in what concepts? Shav sa behemah loif, is a behemah comparable to a bird? V'oif le behemah, a bird to an animal? Look, behemah is matam v'magav masa. Whereas an animal imparts tumah through touching, through contact, through carrying. Oif doesn't have that ability. Oif ain't a metame b'magav masa. Likewise, oif metame b'gadim abeis ablia. And oif has something unique. You can absorb tumah by just swallowing it, even though it's in a hidden place in your neck, in your throat. You get that tumah, something which is distinct and unique to a bird, which an animal doesn't have. Beima ina metame b'gadim ablia sablia. So in what way is the Torah comparing the two? Rather, to tell you like this, regarding our Mishnah, regarding spearing it of tumah, ma behema, just like by an animal, the act of shechita which permits it for consumption, mitayir treifasa mitamasa. Likewise, will spear it of tumah, even if it was discovered to be a treif, if likewise by a bird, the same thing. Whatever typically enables it for consumption, Rashi points out, even malika. Right? Has the ability to be metayr treifasa mitamasa. Okay, so going to Rabbi Meir, we have a separate source that even malika of a bird which was then discovered to be a treifa is spirit of tum. V'Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees, he says, no, nothing doing, right? A bird treifa is going to be tame. Shechita doesn't help it. Why? Where's he coming from? My time, akrashkach v'kadar. She also had a pasuk to provide a source for his position. So this is the pasuk which discusses that bird, which is metame. Right? The pasuk that we read earlier. V'chol nefesh asher toichal nevela utreifa, right? It makes him tame. Now the obvious question is, nevela, I understand, it's a dead bird. But why mention treifa? Who cares if it has an internal wound? Who cares about the cause of death? The fact is it dead or not? Nevela treifa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda treifa lemenemer. Why did the Torah even bother mentioning the word treifa? Look, im treifa chayfa, treifa is considered halachically alive, and eventually, you know, it died, and it's a nevela. So then, that's a regular nevela. Nevela amura. We already discussed nevela. Im treifa and a chayf. Treifa is not halachically considered alive. It's on the verge of death, so it's already now like a nevela. Why give it its own category? Im treifa and a chayf. Hari b'chalal nevela. It's included in nevela. So why mention nevela? Ella lahavi treifa shenishchat shematam. Rather, here the pasuk is telling you that a bird that experienced shechita, valid shechita, but it was discovered to be a treifa, it's not ready for consumption, it's as though it died, it was killed, it's an avela. And it's metam. Amalei Rav Shezri. So Shezri responds, he says like this, Elami Ata. If that's what you learn from the word treifa, let's take a look at another pasuk, a totally different topic. We have a pasuk v'chelav nevela, v'chelav treifa. This is a totally different discussion regarding an animal's chelav, the fats. Pasuk has an interesting concept. Even if the animal dies and the flesh is now metame, but the chelav, you could take it and use it for, you know, processing your hides, your skin. It's not going to be metame. Chelav is a totally different component of the animal. It's not metame. And the pasuk says v'chelav nevela, v'chelav treifa. Same question, why mention treifa? It's just another, you know, variety of dead. Hasam nami neba, same question could be asked over there. Im treifa chaya, if he's alive, her nevela mura, eventually died, he's a nevela. Im treifa nechaya, treifa is not considered halachically alive, her bechal nevela, it's already included in nevela. Why even mention treifa as a separate being? Ela lahavi treifa shishachta, shechal batar. Oh, so according to your, you know, continue with your train of thought, the pasuk is addressing an animal which was discovered to be a treifa after shechita, to say that even there we say, you know, the chelav is tahar. What for? What's the purpose? You know, the main point of the Torah there is to tell you, even if an animal actually died on you, in which case the buster is metami, no, the chelav is a different entity, it's not metami. But if the animal was shechted properly, and then discovered to be a treifa, all agree, even the Mishnah, all agree. Even Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, everybody agrees. A behema who experienced shechita and then was discovered to be a treifa is not going to be metame, not the flesh, and certainly not the chelav. So why even point out that the chelav is tar? Of course, the whole thing is tar. It would be totally redundant and superfluous to get into this. Machlaldi metame, do you mean that the animal itself is metame, which necessitates pointing out that the chelav is different and the chelav is tar? Of course not. The buser itself is still tahar. Some say masnisa tana willing to run the rice. The animal dies. Right? This is the pasuk about an avela bimatami. Min abehima. Some. In some cases. What do you mean in some cases? Not every dead animal is matame. Miktsas behema matame. Miktsas behema ain't matame. Some dead animals are matame, some not. Veizah, so which one is not? So trefa sheshachta. If you shechted an animal and then it was discovered to be a trefa, it's not going to be matame according to all shitas, as we said in the Mishnah. Right? This was a starting point that Rav Meir's Kal v'Chomer all agree. A shechted animal is tar. So you can't learn the word trefa as you had proposed to discuss a trefa animal that was shechted. There would be no reason to discuss that type of case and allow the chaylev and free it of tumah. The whole animal is not tumah. Oh, ella, so rather, you have to find another application for the word trefa in this pasuk. I was speaking about this second pasuk, the pasuk about the chaylev. Let's just for clarity, we have two psukim, right? Pasuk number one, which was Rebu this pasuk, nevelo trefa, by the dead birds. We have nevelo and trefa there, and we have the word nevelo and trefa in the second pasuk by the chaylev, right? So focusing now on the second pasuk. So apparently the word trefa in the second pasuk is going to be applied in a totally different way. Ela trefa meboil, it's needed lemutei tmeya, to inform us that this exemption that chaylev has from being tamei only applies to a kosher animal. But the chaylev of a dead non-kosher animal doesn't have that exemption, it's tamei. How do we know? From the word trefa. How do we see it? Mishyesh b'mina trefa, only a kosher animal which has within its species an issue, an isra of trefa. Kosher animal, which is a trefa, is us. So there we say, you know, that this concept, this pasuk applies, i.e. that the chelo of that dead animal is tar. Yotzezu, as opposed to a non-kosher animal to begin with. Sheim b'mina trefa, which doesn't have relevance to trefa. It's usra for consumption anyway. There's no concept of isra trefa by a non-kosher animal. So it's not included in this discussion. It doesn't have this exemption. The chaylev of a dead non-kosher animal is tamei. So once you've come to this clarity, that the word trefa in pasuk number 2 is not addressing a kosher animal that was shechted and discovered to be a trefa. It can't be. Rather, it's coming to address a non-kosher animal. To push that out. Hachanami. Let's go back to the first pasuk, where it says, nevelo and trefa by a dead bird. The question was, trefa? What's trefa for? Extra, it's unneeded. So Kodur Bida was coming to address a kosher bird that was shechted and then discovered to be a trefa. It's a little bit of tummy. No, who says? Hachanami l'muti oif tummy. Perhaps it's not coming to address a shechted bird and support Rebuda's position. No! L'muti oif tummy. It's coming to exclude. Pasuk speaking about a dead bird being matami. Besablia, you should know it only applies to a kosher bird that died, not a non-kosher bird. I mean, that's all it's coming to tell you. Unrelated to our discussion about a trefa that was nishchat. How do we see to exclude a non-kosher bird? Because the word trefa tells you only a kosher bird which has within its, you know, family relevance to trefa, to the issa trefa, as opposed to a non-kosher bird which is forbidden to begin with, unrelated to trefa. Doesn't have potential of issa trefa. Hachanami l'muti oif tami she'mina trefa. Well, says the Gemara, no. To teach us that, to tell you that Eif Tami is not Metami, that we already know from elsewhere. Eif Tami, the Rabbi Yudah knows that from a different place. Milavela Nafkle, he learns that from the word Nevela in this pasuk, not from the word Trefa, which leaves the word Trefa available to provide a source for his position. And that a bird that was shechted and then discovered to be a Trefa is Metami, as we explained. How does Rabbi Yudah know to rule out a dead bird which is non-kosher? Rabbi Yudah ben Nevela Nafkei learns it from Nevela. How do we know? Maybe non-kosher bird that died is also metame bebeisavli tamaloyma nevelo treifaloy yoyichal. We have another pasuk which says, "Don't eat a nevelo treif." It's an extra pasuk. It's coming to tell you that the tumah. It says, Nevelo Trefa, Yechel Tumah Bani Hashem. The Tumah applicable to a dead bird only applies to a kosher dead bird, not to a non-kosher dead bird. How do we see it from this pasuk? Because only the concept of Isra Nevelo only applies to a kosher bird. A non-kosher bird is Asa to begin with, unrelated to Isra Nevelo. So hence we know we're speaking about a kosher bird only. Nvela trefa loy yoichal. Mishi is suri, only a kosher type of bird. Where there's a concern of isser mishum atoich an avela. The isser of eating an avela on that. So only that is metami. Only that type of bird has the tumma of a beis habli. Yotzeh, as opposed to a non-kosher bird, which is asr before it became an avela. She'in yisur mishum baltoich an avela. Isser is not because it became an avela. Ela mishum baltoich an tummy. Rather, you shouldn't eat it because it's a tummy bird. So in that case, even if it died, it's not metami begadim beis habli. So he knows this from this pasuk. So that leaves the other pasuk available, as we explained, because it says treifa unnecessarily. To tell you that even a kosher bird that was shechter properly, but then was discovered to be a treifa kontra bida, it's metame begadim beis habli. Okay, so in summation, we have behema, we have oif. A behema that was discovered to be a treifa after shechita, all agree it's tahar. The pasuk b'chiyamas mina behem, only some behemas on matame, not the ones that were shechted. That's a given. That's a fact. According to all shittas. What about a bird that experienced a similar experience? It had shechita done to it, and then was discovered to be a treifa, or had malika done in a kachim setting, and then discovered to be a treifa. It's not permissible. It's not mutar b'achila. What is it matame? Is it just plain dead, or is it not really an avela? According to Rameir, we have a kavu chaymer. If by the behema shechita spears it, despite its heavy tumah, certainly by the bird, and likewise malika. Malika is based on the zois teiras abeiva v'ha'if. Compare behema to aif, aif to behema. The act which is typically machshir la'achila spears it of tumah, i.e. malika, even by a malika of a kachim bird. Rosh Abiyuda says, no, I have a different source. Nevela treifa. Makes you tummy. The word treifa seems to be extra to tell you that even a treifa bird, that even a shechted bird that was discovered to be a treifa, is going to be metami. Now, all agree that the tuma of oif bebeis ablia, only, by the way, only bebeis ablia, only applies to a kosher bird rather than to a non-kosher bird. That's learned from either the word treifa, according to Rav Meir, or according to Buda from the word nevela in the second pasuk. That only kosher species which have these issues, likewise will have the tumah of bebeis ablia, but a nevela of a non-kosher bird of an oif tameh is not betameh begadim bebeis ablia. Okay, so that's it for today. We'll continue with this from tomorrow. Pick up on this discussion until its final conclusion. All the best to you and atzlacha rabbah.